First reading was from the prophet Isaiah, offering words of comfort, reminding people not to be afraid that God was near and would redeem them. That language is the language of a caring friend, a comforting presence. And so the second reading comes from the little book of 2 Peter. Now the two letters attributed to the apostle Simon Peter come from fairly late in the early church tradition. And so our thinking is that perhaps someone who was with Peter took down his words, remembered them, and then wrote in his name. This is a fairly common practice in the time of the Bible's writing. We know that Peter probably gave wisdom and stories to Mark for his gospel. And so we hear this special letter that's been written in Peter's name, offering words of comfort from one friend to another. Reading from 2 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 12 to 21. Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things, though you know them already and are established in the truth that has come to you. But I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to refresh your memory, since I know that my death will come soon, as indeed our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in the darkness, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. For first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. No prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women have been moved by the Holy Spirit, spoken from God. May God bless the reading and the hearing of God's word, that it guides us, encourages us in our daily life. Let us pray. Loving God, once more we seek to hear your word. Once more we make ourselves available to you and your Spirit. Once more we draw near, trusting that you precede us and that you are with us. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Welcome to East Liberty Presbyterian Church. If this is your very first time here in our church, I want to help you with some of the vocabulary of worship when we're gathering here. So you're now seated in the sanctuary with the chancel area up front and the narthex or the entryway in the rear. The center of the church is called the apse, and the two side areas are called the transepts, and the entire structure has been designed architecturally in the shape of a cross. Now, during worship, we will talk a lot about faith, and we'll talk a lot about the gospel. Faith is not so much what you believe with your head, but rather what you trust in your heart about God. And even if you only have a mustard seed worth of that faith and trust, it is enough. And when we mention the gospel, what we're doing is referring to the story of Jesus Christ, something that we call the good news. Now, the story comes to us from the Bible, as well as the memories that have been handed down to us by church members and disciples through the ages. You don't have to understand everything about who Jesus was as the Christ to be a part of the church. In fact, you will more than likely not understand everything about Jesus the Christ, even as you're part of the church. Because that's the nature of what it is to encounter something that exceeds our experience and our language. Our task is simply to learn about Him, to trust Him, and in so doing that brings healing to who we are now and gives us strength for life's journey ahead. Now, I hope that was helpful. No need to thank me. As they say, what are friends for? Now, that last comment was actually not a throwaway line, because friendship is at the heart of the Christian faith. It's at the heart of what it means to be together as a church. It's the primary way that Jesus Himself described His relationships with His friends, His followers, and disciples. In John 15, when Jesus was with them in the upper room for the Last Supper, He said to them, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master's doing. Instead, I've called you friends, because I've made known to you as my friends everything that I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last." We're not called to be slaves, servants, lowly, without power. Neither are we called to be masters, oppressing and ruling and dominating others. But we're called to be friends, peers, people who look one another in the eye and seek what is best for one another in our hearts. Back in 1934, Cole Porter wrote a musical called Anything Goes. And in Anything Goes, it brought together Reno Sweeney, an evangelist-turned-nightclub singer, with a two-bit gangster named Moonface Martin, proudly proclaimed as public enemy number 13. Reno and Mooney sing a famous duet called Friendship, which has these words: "If you're ever in a jam, here I am. If you ever need a pal, I'm your gal. If you ever feel so happy you land in jail, I'm your bail. It's friendship, friendship, just a perfect blendship. And when other friendships have been forgot, ours will still be hot." So I want you to think about someone who's been a good friend to you. Friends are people we trust, people who give us a straight answer, who always want what's best for us, just as we want what's best for them. Friendship is built upon conversations, talking, sharing, laughing, remembering, telling stories, and giving one another straight talk, heart to heart. And in a real way, that's the same formula for Christian faith. It's built on friendship, sharing, talking, straight from one heart to another, between two people who care about one another. When we think of the stories in the Gospels, most of the people around Jesus were brought there by their friends. Andrew heard Jesus preach, and he ran home and he found his brother Simon Peter, and he said, "We have found the Messiah." And he brought Peter to Jesus, and out of that came the first two disciples. In the same way, Philip had his friend Nathanael come over and also told him, "We found the Messiah," and soon another set of disciples was birthed. Over time then, friends told their friends about this teacher from Nazareth who healed and spoke with power. And soon the crowds following Jesus were so large that they would fill up the hillsides whenever he stopped to preach. And later on in his life, more friends told their friends so that they would gather along the road leading into Jerusalem and tear off branches from the trees and lay down their garments and their robes so that the entire crowd could welcome him on Palm Sunday. And by the end of Jesus' life, when he was unjustly crucified on a cross, the friends now began telling about the risen Christ. They began talking about what they had seen And that verbal sharing led to the Christian church, led to all the writings in the New Testament, led to the church universal, including every one of us here today. In a very real way, the existence of the church 100 years from now is not dependent on Pope Francis in Rome, and it's not dependent on the Presbytery office at Allegheny Avenue, and it's not even dependent on the bricks and mortar of this one building. The future existence of the church is totally dependent on you and I talking to our friends, telling our friends about Jesus. Not just telling our friends that we go to church, but telling them that we daily seek to follow the one who is talked about in church. Like Moonface Martin said, when other friendships have been forgot, this one will still be hot. And so that's why in this little book, 2 Peter, we don't often hear from it, the verses are channeling the voice and the spirit of Peter, one of Jesus' best friends. And so we hear Peter say to us, look, I intend to keep reminding you of the gospel, to refresh your memory, so that even when I'm not here any longer, you will be able to continue and recall everything. Friends don't let friends forget things that are important. That's why we tell each other stories. That's why we remind each other of what we've seen, what we know to be true. We help one another make sense of the world today and to make plans for tomorrow. That's what friends do. Now, when Peter reminds us about Jesus, maybe go back and read that passage again when you get home, because he doesn't go into a lot of detail. Peter doesn't list off Christian doctrines, or he doesn't recite a long creed. Peter doesn't give a lot of scientific data or some sort of empirical proofs about Christ. In this passage, Peter simply says, I'm here to remind you that something wonderful happened in Jesus. As he put it, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And that's it. Either we accept that word or we don't. The most common starting point of any conversation of faith, of sharing the gospel, basically is an affirmation. An affirmation that yes, there is something real about God. Yes, there is something real about God's glory, about God's presence in our world, about God's plans for our world. And as little as we understand it, we trust it and have glimpsed it in the story and the life of Jesus Christ. Peter said, I was an eyewitness. An eyewitness to majesty and glory in Jesus. I heard a voice declare, this is my Son, my beloved, with whom I'm well pleased. And all that I've seen, all that we saw, has been like a lamp shining in a dark place for the world. And so in that very moment, Peter invites us to move out of the shadows and simply, as a friend, invites us to take a step forward into the light. That's basically what it means to have faith, to choose to stand in the light and to listen, to ponder, to pray about what others have told us that they believe to be true, that God in Christ and the Holy Spirit is near to us, loves us, and has called us to move forward by faith. Different example. If you've gone to a class reunion, or if you've caught up with friends that you haven't seen in a long time, one common reaction at those gatherings is to feel like no time at all has elapsed. That you were able to pick up conversations with friends right where they had broken off and go forward as if nothing had changed. Friendships affect how we experience time. And so does faith, when faith is lived out as part of a church. Robert Bella is a sociologist, and he wrote about us. He said, groups like churches are things that we call communities of memory. Because when we come together as a church, it changes the way we experience time. We don't experience time as just a random succession of events, one happening after another. Instead, for us, every day, every week, every year is punctuated by inbreakings of the sacred amongst the secular and profane. Prayer breaks into our daily routines, maybe saying a blessing before a meal or a prayer before bed. Scripture, religious stories become part of how we learn each week. Conversations and actions that we do Monday through Saturday are done in the spirit and trying to be true to what we've learned about Jesus, being caring to our neighbors, seeing them as children of God. And just in case we forget all those things, this community of memory exists to be our friends, to remind us, to check on us, to pray with us and pray for us, to hold us when death or tragedy happens, to guide us and to encourage us when we don't even know what words we should say. And they help us jog our memories. They help us lift our spirits whenever we might be tempted to forget just how precious life is, how special each day is. And that's why Peter was a persistent friend. He's one who said, "I intend to keep reminding you of all these things," because he wants to ensure that we will be active participants in communities of memory. And why is that? It's because, frankly, we need these things for this life. We need the deep things, like forgiveness, because we've all messed up. And hope, because some days it's just hard to get out of bed. We need to have trust in the fundamental goodness of life here on earth. And none of that can be gained by being a passive observer on the outside of a faith community. Neither life nor faith was ever intended to be a spectator sport. And religious channel surfing serves neither God nor you. And that's why Peter and the other friends tug us on the sleeve and they say, "Come and see. Come and see, because we have seen and found the Messiah. And we want to tell you about that." Good friends persistently will seek us out and say, "There's more to this life than what you're seeing right now. I know it to be true." And church friends will honestly share with you, heart to heart, the good news of Jesus. How in Him, through Him, in ways inevitably that will surpass our understanding, majestic glory has been seen here on earth. And so in the good news that we share about Jesus, a lamp now shines in a very dark place, and the darkness cannot overcome it. So trust in the light, trust the God who illuminates, and listen to your friends. And for heaven's sake, literally, be a faithful friend to someone else. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, we want to enter into a time of prayer for ourselves and for our community. I want to especially be in prayer for the family of Martin Esquivel Hernandez. Maria Elena, her grandchildren, her families are routinely with us in worship. Martin is once more back in a prison because he simply lacks the documentation to remain with his family. And friends and lawyers have tried to overturn those decisions to allow him to remain in the community. We failed last week once more to reach a decision that would safeguard him, and so he's back in Youngstown over the holidays awaiting a trial in January. So pray for the family that's been torn apart by our unwillingness to truly welcome the families that come knocking on our doors in the Christmas season, asking if there's any room in our inn. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, you come to us and accommodate yourself that we might glimpse and understand according to our abilities, setting aside that which you rightfully possessed, and instead walking amongst us as one of us, a carpenter, a teacher, a healer, an encourager, a friend, a rabbi. And then you entrusted who you were, not to some heavenly miracle, but to the words that friends would tell friends, the stories they would share, the convictions of their hearts that they would willingly bear and proclaim and say with all the earnestness they could muster, "We have seen His glory, the glory as of the Father's only begotten child." And so as friends, we pray for our friends, remembering those in need this day, for those seeking healing and strength, for those facing surgery or recovering. We've listed them in our bulletins, but Lord, hold them close to your heart. We lift up today especially the family of Martin Esquivel Hernandez, that your justice would reign, your light would break through the darkness, and we would truly live into what it means to be a people that welcome, that care, that seek your work in all that we do. We also lift up and pray for Jim Cover, who died last week, and in his departing has left a gap and a hole. His presence has brought us light and joy. And so we remember him in the many ways he's touched our lives, even as we pray for his sister and brother-in-law and other friends and family. We pray for our nation, for our leaders, for those entrusted with living out the words and the truth of our faith by the laws and the actions of this land. And we go beyond these borders and this nation to pray for those where there is war and violence, to pray for those where there is hunger and disease. We have the capacity to do better. By your grace, may we do so. Living God, you offer us encouragement and point us towards your horizon of your coming. So let us keep our eyes focused on you, guided by your light, that all we do brings your good news to bear fruit, and fruit that will last in the world. Hear us now as we offer the prayer of our hearts and the prayer taught to us by Christ Jesus as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.